Happy Friday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. So glad you're here, kicking off the weekend just a bit early, as we do with some fun Walt Disney World conversation. Ricky and Pam are standing by. We're going to have some fun talking about all the news happening at Walt Disney World right now. I mean, there's so much going on. You could talk about this from now till the end of the year and not cover it all, but we're going to do our best to just have some thoughts on things happening at Walt Disney World. Don't forget today's show brought to you by our friends over at the Magic for Less Travel. They are a platinum earmarked agency, which means Disney has recognized them for being the best of the best. So when it comes time to book your next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Universal Vacation, even Adventures by Disney or Disney Cruise Line, work with the best out there, and that's the agents over at the Magic for Less. Drop by the website at themagicforless.com. While you're there, fill out that free no-obligation quote and let them know you heard about them here on the Be Our Guest podcast. We sure appreciate your support. Again, themagicforless.com. When you do that online shopping this weekend, please use our Amazon affiliate link. It's brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. You get all your Prime benefits, cost you nothing extra, and it is an easy way, the easiest way possible to support the Be Our Guest podcast. So again, anytime you shop online, please use our link at brguestpodcast.com/Amazon.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1537 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman, from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and the senior agent of fun over at the Magic for Less. Because you know what? When you book a trip with me, you're going to have fun. Whether you're going on a cruise, going down to Walt Disney World, Disneyland, even Adventures by Disney, maybe Costa Rica, maybe Central America, maybe you're going over to Europe, maybe you're just going to Wyoming. I promise you, you're going to have fun. So I'm changing my title. I'm the senior agent of fun.
I see. The Magic for Less. Senior agent of fun.
Yes, that's okay. How it is. Yeah, it's Friday.
Can I be the CEO of fun?
That's it. That's of course. Yeah. Absolutely. It has to be that way. So anyway, we're going to have some fun today talking about Pam's recent trip. She was down, got to do some very, very cool stuff, and she's going to share some tips that hopefully will make your next Walt Disney World vacation even better. So joining me today, she keeps you up to date with everything happening down at Walt Disney World each and every day. I see her on those little videos on the website that has like the hand, and then it's Ricky. You know, it's like the hand drawn like a little monitor, the Mouse for Less, and then boom, Ricky's on the screen. Ricky from a Disney World After All.com, touringplans.com, and the Mouse for Less. What's going on, Ricky?
Well, you know what? Disney just keeps announcing more and more things every single day. So I figured I might as well do the Mouse Bites every single day because there's something to talk about every day. And they were getting too long when I was doing it in one full swoop. So it's like, I'm just going to break these up into daily ones. So that's, and you know, as long as there's news, I'm going to report on it daily. So that's my goal.
Did Disney officially put out that the Spirit Halloween store is going in Coco?
Halloween store does not actually exist, Mike. You're fine. No Spirit.
Chat room says it might be a Taco Bell.
It could be a Taco
Bell. Yeah, that's what I heard.
Of course, that's owned by Pepsi, and Club Cool is Coke, so I doubt that's happening.
So. That's
that'd be bad. All right, also joining us, we have the coder of the Magic for Less Travel, Pam Forrester. Pam, happy Friday.
Happy Friday. I am so glad I get to talk about my last trip. And before we launch into that, I just want to say a couple things. First of all, when I was staying there at Grand Casino, we ate at Toledo's. And I got to meet listeners Emily and Alex, who happened to be sitting next to us. And I know, right? And they recognized my voice.
That's it.
And
then, I've heard that laugh. Yeah. I know that laugh.
Exactly. Yeah, they did. And we got to chat with them for a while. They were going into Galaxy's Edge the next morning. So I hope that worked out well for you all. They were asking what they thought my best advice on strategy would be. And it's so hard to do that even now, because it's changing, you know, everything's changing and whatnot, but I'm sure they went in there and had a great time. So I was so excited for them and to have the chance to meet them. And we did take a picture. We should have taken a picture, but anyways, we didn't. I'm horrible at that. So it was nice. Got to meet them. And then the other thing I want to bring up again is the Indy Disney meet, because the Magic for Less Travel is going to be running a contest during the Indy Disney meet, and you're going to get a postcard when you go to the Indy Disney meet that has all these specifics on it, but we're going to have a big banner there that has our logo on it. And if you take your picture, a selfie with the banner in the back, and tag Indie Disney and the Magic for Less Travel, right? Yes, Mike's a selfie expert.
That's a good distance.
And
it's usually about an arm's length.
Yeah. Right, during that time, then we will be picking a random drawing winner to get a $100 gift card. Well, actually, there's the $50 Disney gift cards. Then there's other Disney gift cards, and then there's Magic for Less Travel gift cards too, which means if you book your Disney vacation, by the time you can combine the Disney gift card and the Magic for Less Travel gift card and, you know, really get something off of there. So anyways, it's going to be awesome. So come and join us. Make sure you get a postcard or stop by the booth. We'll tell you how it all works, but looking forward to that.
And yell at me because I want to be in the selfie with you. That increases your chances to win. Right, Pam?
I don't know that you're going to get to do that.
Yeah, it's true. Probably not. We are going to be recording a live show, too, so make sure you're there. You get 5 minutes with us. We're going to have first come, first serve for an hour. And you get one question or one Disney hot take, and we'll talk about it. So
don't do the hot take because then we have to hear Mike.
No, hot take. Forget the questions. We do questions every week. Forget your email. If you want to ask a question, you can. But I mean, go with the hot take.
Ask the question.
And also, Jessica said she just listened to the Boardwalk Live show. She said she's cracking up. So that was crazy.
That was a little embarrassing. It was. Jessica, I'm glad it was entertaining, though.
It was definitely, I'm sure, entertaining.
I think we should do more shows with drinks.
Yeah, it was great. We weren't drinking. Hey, the audience was.
There are podcasts.
I absolutely had a drink.
Okay, I didn't.
There are podcasts that live off of having drinks before starting their show, so or during their show. So you know, it's not like it's.
I'm
the first
so
drink.
Much funnier after a drink.
I'm just souped up on
so
Coke
much
Zero.
More entertaining, at least to myself, I am. So
anyway. Right, we'll have one because this show's all about you, Pam. Because you got to do some cool stuff. So.
What's in her cup right now?
Right. Shoot! I forgot. I didn't realize I should have just water. So.
Anyway, so tell us, you went down originally, like the goal of the trip, the purpose of the trip was the media event for the Galaxy's Edge opening at Walt Disney World at Disney's Hollywood Studios. So talk to us about what you learned and what that experience is like.
So it really was, I waited. I didn't do any of the previews because I knew I was going to go to this event and I really wanted to experience it like that. The great thing about a media event is they sort of had some things like scheduled for you so you can sort of experience them, you know, and make sure you get like sort of the full effect. And I think that that's always one of the bonuses. I really wanted to do it. And I will tell you, it really sort of exceeded my expectations in so many ways. I had been in the land while they were still building it. Now, this was sometime, you know, a while ago. But this really did exceed those expectations. We walked in sort of, and it's hard to even describe how large the land is. And I think that's something that so many people sort of talk about that is an overwhelming takeaway, right? That they didn't expect the land to be that large. I mean, you see it on paper and whatnot, but it really does in a way that it is challenging to describe. It gives you opportunities to sort of meander through and be surprised and find little hidden things there because there really is that opportunity. So I think, you know, that's one of the things too. So we did get to experience it during the day and night, of course, experience the attraction, eat the food, do all of that. So, I kind of did it all and we went back too afterwards. Steve and I went back after the land was officially open too and spent some time in there as well. So we sort of did a great big combination of everything there at Galaxy's Edge and it was all very cool.
Pam, what was one of the things that really stood out? Because obviously I've been in the land too. So what was one of the things that really stood out to you that you found to be the most unique about Star Wars Galaxy's Edge?
So I think one of the things, my best piece of advice for people is you're going to want to be there during the day and you're going to want to be there at night. Yeah. You're going to want to do both. And I know that makes it really challenging, but I think you can see things during the day and sort of get the scope of things, sort of wrap your arms around it. And I think that's really important because there's really cool things to see during the day. But the lighting and the effects that they have in that land make it totally worth going back at night. And you're going to want to see that too. So even if you don't ride the attraction both times, depending on how that line situation is as we move forward. And the land, of course, has more people into it. I would still make the chance to go there both times and do it. And we say that about a few different lands. Like, I think Avatar is a great example that you want to do that in the day and at night. I think that there are other parts of Hollywood Studios that make it worth going at night, too. But this is really something you're going to want to see both times.
So you mentioned dining. You got to taste some of the things in Batu. So what's something not to be missed? And also not only dining, but, you know, we'll talk Smuggler's Run briefly, but just maybe something that the folks going into the land might not be considering, you know, because they haven't heard a lot about it. Maybe a surprise. But talk about those two things.
Well, so we ate food from all the different locations, and one of them was Docking Bay 7. And the two things that we had that we tried, and we actually, they were good enough that when Steve and I went back, you know, I had him try them too. They were the braised shack roast that came with the pasta. Mm-hmm. And then also was the, I know this is going to be interesting. It was the little meatballs that were,
The meatless. Yes.
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 And they were really, really good.
Really?
Uh-huh. Yeah, it really was. So we tried both of those. And I really would recommend them both. I thought that they were really good. The base that's underneath them is good. And it's something that I would recommend. The desserts were interesting. I'm not a huge dessert party, so it's all sort of lost on me, the whole thing, but they have a Batu Bon, which is a chocolate cake. It has sort of a coffee custard, and then an Oi Oi Puff, which is raspberry cream puff and passion fruit mousse, which is that. But again, you know, good choices. And they have options for kids too. All of them, you know, the little, the entrees that they have, all, of course, have interesting names, but they're all things that when you read the description that you'll enjoy, you know, eating, you'll get a little more information there from that. They also have, you can use your dining plan now in Star Wars since it opened. And that it is a great use of some of the dining plan credits when you really think about using a quick service there. Because for adults, not only do you get the entrees, which the shack roast that comes with, you know, the pasta is like a $19 meal. That's a $19 meal. That's before tax. And then you can get a drink. And for those of you on the dining plan, again, you can use those for specialty beverages that are non-alcoholic or alcoholic beverages. And they also have some beer and stuff there. But they have different specialty beverages that are exclusive to Star Wars Land, too. They have, you know, a tea, Batu Bacha tea and moof juice and, you know, those kind of things. So think about that, too. When you're thinking about where you want to use your quick service credits, you're absolutely going to be able to use them here. And they're really a good use of those quick service credits.
So let me ask you one other thing, too. And William's got a great question, which I want to address. I want to kind of like a strategy, just theoretical, like how you're going to tour the studios now kind of question. But before, when you were gone, Pam, I was talking to Ricky, and I booked my flights to go down at the end of September, got them with my frequent flyer miles. Who'd have thought I could ever say that 5 years ago? But I still have plenty, and I have enough to do Marathon Weekend on frequent flyer miles, too. So I'm like pumped. So my flight's going to be about $200. So I'm thinking about doing the lightsaber thing, but I just don't know how that's going to go over when I come home with a $200 lightsaber and I got to go to Walt Disney World and everybody else around the house had to work and go to school. But that's outside the thing. I don't know if you did that. What do you think about that experience? Like, it's so expensive, but I mean, it's such a uniquely, it's not the product, it's the experience you're having, but it's pretty quick. I mean, what about those kind of things in Batu? Like, talk about those, address those. Like, I mean, I know they're expensive. Are they worth it? I mean, what's the audience? What do you think?
So I did not do the lightsaber. And the reason why is, honestly, it is not something that I would have at home. I just would. It's not something that I would. And so it wasn't something that was on my radar to do. I absolutely understand and appreciate why people do it. That and the droid thing, they both looked like a very cool experience. And I think that's something that you have to consider when doing it. First of all, it's not just that you're going and buying a lightsaber. It's that you're customizing it. You're making choices. And it is the experience of doing it. I mean, that in itself is very cool. I love that Disney thought about this when doing this, that you're not just going to go and pick out a lightsaber from the shelf and do it. And I know, so I saw so many people coming out of there. And when you do the lightsaber, they actually give you this cool case sort of put it in too. And they were so happy doing it, really and truly. And there were other people who were like, oh my gosh, you did the lightsaber. How was it? And they would be like, it was so cool.
Oh, stop. You're costing me money. Yeah. Stop.
Right. It was very cool. You got to do some of this stuff. So I love that they're doing it. But it brings up another really great point. And that is that you do get to sort of walk through this Black Spire marketplace, right? Where there are all these little shops. And some of the shops have sort of like, you know, some of the clothing that you would see some people that live here wear, right? And some of them have pets. You can adopt one of the pets, you know, adopt a Tauntaun or something like that, that you can take home with you. And one of the little shops is a toy store. Mm-hmm. And I loved every piece of merchandise in this toy store because it is not a plastic Disney product.
Right.
It is, it looks like it's this handcrafted thing, like it was handcrafted in Batu, really, or woven or carved out of wood. It was actually, they have this, you know, the sand guys, you know, that little vehicle that they were in. Well, they had a wooden version of that. And when you open it up, there's two little sand people inside of it. It was the coolest thing. And I kept thinking to myself, oh man, I really want to get this, right? Because the sand people was such an essential part of the first Star Wars.
Seriously, they gave me nightmares for years. Yes.
Yes. Totally scared of them. Yes. Right. And the whole thing. So that was really, really cool. They had these little Jawas inside. I mean, it was all just a very cool thing. So lots of stuff to really look at. And that's the kind of toys you're going to be able to take away, or a puzzle that might you might find in Batuu, or, you know, something like that. All the little stuffed characters that they had in that store looked like they had been crocheted by someone. I mean, it's just really cool merchandise. And it's hard to wrap your head around it. Give yourself some time to look and go back and then look again, because I think it's not your typical Disney merchandise. It's so much more.
Disney said we need something for the 45-year-olds who grew up with the original trilogy. And it's, we're going to get them here. We're going to hit them with the feels, with the sand people and the Jawas.
Definitely. Yeah, it's definitely true. So, and I haven't even talked about the attraction yet.
I know. Real quick, before we get to the attraction, I just want to ask Ricky, this is like a quick theoretical thing. So William has a good question. He says, with everyone heading to Galaxy's Edge, does it make sense to go to Toy Story Land, Rock and Roller Coaster and Tower first, and then head back to Galaxy's Edge once the lines go down? So philosophically, what do you think moving forward in the next few months? What's the touring strategy here?
I think that might be a great strategy. You know, let everybody head over to Galaxy's Edge first and then go do some of the other things like, you know, Slinky Dog Dash or Rock and Roller Coaster. And then, you know, and then head into the land at midday and get into the early evening. And that way you get to see it, like Pam said, both, you know, in the daylight as well as in the evening. So you get the biggest bang for your buck in Galaxy's Edge that way. And yeah, I think that that's probably a really good plan actually right now.
Any other thoughts, Pam, on that, on William's question here?
No, I think that's a great strategy. It just really is. You're going to want to go during a time when you can, you know, possibly see it. You know, of course, that's called, like, if you're going in before sunset, right before sunset is the magic hours in terms of photography. It makes some great opportunities. And then, of course, you'll be there when the lights come on, and that makes it really cool, too. So, you know, love that idea.
All right, talk to us about Smuggler's Run, because we got a lot of other stuff we want to get in besides Galaxy's Edge. But
what I do want to mention, one other food item, and that is the Ronto Wrap. That is at a quick service location. It's really just sort of a small area where you can get just that and some specialty beverages and whatever. But I was really surprised. The Ronto wrap was pretty good. So give that one a try. And I've heard that from a lot of different people. So try that one. All right, let's talk about the attraction. First of all, the queue. Boom. Awesome. Just there's so many things that Star Wars fans are going to like. And that's why when I thought about, you know, waiting in line, going back to it and waiting in line, I actually didn't even mind because I wanted to go through and see that queue again. There's a lot to see and do. There's just so many things that it's hard, again, to wrap your head around. So it was really good to have the opportunity. When else are you going to get your picture taken in the Millennium Falcon, right? I mean, they have that the chess and table there for you to have your picture taken. That was so famous. So glad to see it. The actual attraction itself, I thought was very cool. It's way longer than I thought it would be.
Yeah.
Really and truly, it was. And I was a little concerned going into it because I do get motion sickness. I've talked about this a few times. I was worried. Flight of Passage, I seem to do well on it because there's air blown on my face the whole time. Star Tours, oh my gosh. Every time I do it, I'm like, why am I here? So, you know, that whole thing. But I did well on Smuggler's Run. I would do it again. I couldn't do it one right after the other, but I could do it and I could wait a while and go back again. There is some of that motion to it, but for me, it's not really a jerky ride at all, although you do get shooken up a little bit depending on how good your pilot is.
I've heard that from everybody, like you need a good pilot.
It's true. What you do really impacts your ride, your attraction. And people, I've seen a lot of people say, you know, they really enjoyed it more when they were in the pilot seat. I get that. I understand it. But having done it, I find each one gives you different opportunities. It was really fun, actually, to kind of sit in the back as the engineer to sort of view, have an overview of everything, too. You still have absolutely things you have to do. You have to press buttons and listen to what's going on and experience that. But it was cool to see that from back at that part, too. Or to be one of the gunners. Like, you have things that you have to do. Now, of course, everyone wants to take you to warp speed, right?
Not warp speed. You got to go light speed. You're going to be
light
chewy.
Speed, warp speed, yes.
Oh, man, I can't wait.
I know, right? So the whole thing. But absolutely, I think that each of them offers its own sort of experience. So give it a try. See what you think. I keep anticipating that at some point we'll get to a point where there will be fast pass here. Who knows? I don't know. There still is a single rider's line at this point. So that's a good thing. Take advantage of that so you can ride it more than once. But go and just enjoy, like soak it up because it's worth it.
I need that shirt for this coming upcoming trip. Single rider waiting for my party of three.
Well, you know, you definitely could have gotten that one. I'm just saying. They had it at the outlet. So there you go.
I'm just saying. Single rider right here, Busta, when I go down at the end of September. Woohoo! I get the single rider everything. I can't wait.
That's going to be awesome. Funny.
All right. So walk us through some of the other stuff you did outside of Galaxy's Edge.
So, like I mentioned before, I stayed at Grand Destino again. This is the second time I've stayed here since it opened, and I still really love it. First of all, I have to say this. There are many resorts that smell good. This is one of them.
Okay,
you
great.
Walk into the lobby, and it has a really great smell. I just like the way it is. So, you know, different resorts, Disney sort of pumps those smells in to make things smell good. And it does here. It didn't disappoint. It really, truly did not disappoint. So I love that. Love the rooms in the tower. I think that these rooms are really thoughtfully done. It feels more like a deluxe. There are great views on either side, whether you're overlooking the resort side where you'll see the water and you can see Ever sometimes or Magic Kingdom sometimes, or on the other side you're going to have views of Galaxy's Edge, which are really, really cool. So the tower is totally worth going to. Make sure you stop there. You can eat at Barcelona is the lounge that's in the lower part of the lobby. That's open for breakfast and then snacks and stuff throughout the day. Also, it's a good place to get coffee in the morning or drinks in the evening. We've eaten there a few times, or not eaten there. We've had drinks there a couple times. Really good. Dahlia's is the lounge that is up on the 16th floor. And you can, again, have great views from there. And then Toledo's is the restaurant. And we've eaten there twice, too. So have had good experiences at all of that. I really recommend checking out Grandestino. It's great. I think it's a great addition to the portfolio of resorts. And I can't recommend it enough.
So we have a question in the chat, and we're not really doing listener questions today, but I think it's a good point. I just, because you mentioned Galaxy's Edge and Coronado, you know, two hot things. We've got so many great things coming online this summer. You know, like we'll have a lot happening at Epcot with Ratatouille, things like that. But Angel's asking kind of in that interim, like February. Now, I think it also depends around, like for February, obviously crowd patterns, like around President's Day weekend, it's going to be a nut house. Mm-hmm. It usually is. You also have Princess Half Marathon weekend, like third weekend or second weekend. I can't remember exactly. Maybe it's the last weekend of February. We've also gotten the dates for Festival of the Arts, which brings up the crowds a little bit. But Pam, or let me ask Ricky. Ricky, looking into your crystal ball, what do you think like Galaxy's Edge crowds are going to be, you know, after the beginning of 2020, you know, before summer hits? I mean, they're not as crazy as we were expecting a year ago. It's very Absolutely. Much more accessible. I mean, what do we think? I mean, is it going to pick up in the coming months? I mean, is it going to become a nut house, or is this just how it's going to be? What do you think?
I think we'll know more once the Rise of the Resistance attraction comes online. I think, and, you know, we get past the holidays and things like that. I think we'll have a better handle on how things are going to be. But from what it's looking like it might be real smooth, easy going, which, you know, is great because we did think it was going to be a nut house for.
We have people saying like, you know, I'll get to see it in 3 years. I don't think that's the case, which I think is good.
I don't know if that's what's going to happen. Yeah.
Who knows?
Which is good. I'm happy that it worked out that way, to be honest.
So. I mean, it's going to make people happier. It's going to bring the guest experience up because, you know, Absolutely. It's like the worst thing is if you go down there for a week and you can't get in, or you got to go at 6 a.m. the only time you can get in. That's rough. I mean, Pam, what are your thoughts on this?
It's really going to be challenging to narrow down what it's going to look like. I think the one thing we can take away from this is that Disney has a plan for crowd control. And they implemented it. We have the waiting groups there, you know, the groups that you can get into if need be. And I think that that's a really good solution to that. I really, truly do. And I think that's the thing. I wish that Disney would have released that information maybe a little prior to it opening. And I think that more people would have been inclined to be there during the first month of the opening. I think a lot of people were afraid.
That was the thing that I was most surprised about, was that they didn't announce, and really they didn't even announce it. It was just, they showed up on, you know, like you took a picture and sent it to me, and I'm like, oh, hey, they're doing this, you know, like they're doing the boarding pass thing. Like they never actually announced that they were doing the boarding pass thing. And that part floored me because they announced it for, you know, Disneyland. And I was just like, oh, for sure, they'll announce it. And then, like, the week came up, and we're like, nope. And then the day before came up, and I'm like, nope, they haven't announced it. So that was the part that kind of baffled me. It was like, I was really surprised they did not do anything announcing how this is how the process is going to go, you know, even up until the night before.
Right. So. And it might have just been that they weren't quite ready for it, or they weren't sure they needed it or whatnot. But either way, I think what you have to just do is trust the process that Disney has things worked out. I mean, they really, truly do. And I think go with it. I mean, if I'm a Star Wars fan, I'm making plans to go there. I may be making plans to go there sooner rather than later. Like, I may be making plans to go there before the end of this year to experience some of these things, because we've seen what the crowds are like right now. And I think it's a great opportunity to go there. If you were ever looking for an excuse, this could be it. The way that it's gone lately could be an excuse to go there. And I don't need that many excuses. Yeah. So I'll take whichever one I can get. So if I wanted to go there, you could still make plans to be there and see the gondolas, the last illuminations, and Galaxy's Edge. I mean, that's still a possibility.
Well, see, that's what I'm doing. That's why I held off on the AP previews, because I wanted to I knew there were a lot of events happening into this month, and I wanted to be there for the last illuminations. It's my favorite nighttime spectacular. Wanted to see Epcot Forever. Wanted to ride the gondolas when they opened, you know, and it sounds like I'm going to get the Star Wars experience. That's kind of a bonus. You know, I'm only going to be there for 3 days, but if I get to walk around the land, do Smuggler's Run once this trip, that'll be fine. I'll get the experience. Right. So I'm kind of glad I waited. I rolled the dice, and we'll see how it works. But I also think that weekend's going to be insanely crazy because a lot of folks are going to do what I do, especially hardcore Disney fans that want to see the last Illuminations. And it's a great weekend to be there. I think it's going to be a very, very busy weekend, I'm guessing.
It is. Yeah, agreed. But there's lots of opportunities for that. So,
all right. So walk us through some of the other stuff you got to do.
So some of the other things that I did this time were that I took advantage of the Disney dining plan, the standard dining plan. That's sort of the mid plan. There's a quick service plan. There's the Disney dining plan, which is the mid plan that includes a table, quick service, 2 snacks per day. And then there's the deluxe plan, which includes 3 meals per day. We chose to do the mid plan, and you know, we sort of looked at our dining and looked at what we wanted to do to sort of maximize that. And I will tell you, we saved a ton of money using the dining plan. We really, truly did. And there's so many opportunities for that. I'm going to go through like some of the people that should be thinking about this. But when you think about the Disney dining plan, there are lots of people who are going to benefit from them. If you have children that are under the age of 10, and I know we've said this on the podcast before, you absolutely have to consider the Disney dining plan. It is, all right, I wrote down some notes. I actually took notes, wrote down some notes on this. But for 2019, the price for the dining plan per night for child 3 to 9, $25.80. And for 2020, it's $30.50. Well, I'm here to tell you that there are many character meals that already exceed this price per child. If you're eating at Akershus or Tusker House or Chef Mickey's, you're bumping, if not surpassing, the price of the dining plan right there. And you still have 2 snacks and a quick service meal in which to, quote, get your value's worth during that time. So you really need to consider that. And some people will say, well, my kid doesn't eat that much. Okay, if you go to a character meal and your child is there, yep, they are charged the price that it is to be there, right? So you might as well have the dining plan for that and save some. That's something to really consider. So it is sort of a slam dunk if you have children in that range, and you will be going to some of these meals that you know, are one price for that. So consider that. Again, the character dining, there are lots of opportunities for that. The adult price for the dining plan in 2019 is around $70, $72, I think it is. And the character meals at many different locations are once again bumping up to that. And it's not just the character meals, like Ohana. Ohana is about $60 per adult. And you also, when you have the dining plan, you're able to get a drink on top of that. So by the time you add that up, you're getting what it cost for the dining plan for one meal, and you've only used one table service credit. You still have your quick service meal and your 2 snacks for the day, plus the refillable mug. So I think there are so many blogs and other things out there, blogs and videos and bits of advice that really talk about the dining plan, but there's lots of opportunities that really you can save using the dining plan. It makes so much sense. And for people who purchase Disney gift cards and somehow save, like sometimes grocery stores offer discounts, or your warehouse club, or you buy them through Target and do that whole thing, you can use those discounted gift cards to pay for your Disney trip, as long as you're booking with a travel agency that books directly through Disney, like we do. I mean, we process gift cards for payments all the time. So it's sort of like you're getting a discount and then getting a discount on that as well. So consider that. There's no reason why you can't do that. There's just lots of great opportunities for saving using the dining plan. And I just wanted to have people think about that once again. I mean, we clearly made money. I'm going to do a blog on this so we get, you know, the whole thing. But we made a lot of money. We used a lot of our snacks at Food and Wine, which is going on now. That's a great opportunity. We've talked about this. If you're going during any of the Epcot festivals, and there seems to be one every other week, whether it's Food and Wine or Flower and Garden or the Festival of the Arts or Festival of the Holidays or whatever, there's booths set up quite a lot there. Did they take them down anymore? I was wondering that.
Yeah, real quick. It's Diet Epcot for a few minutes.
but that's what it's like. So the snack credits you can use there, and you know, the snacks range from $4 to $9. I mean, we got the $9 lobster roll with one of our snack credits. It was a huge deal. I mean, two of those. I just, you know, I think that at one point it was people just decided that they didn't want, you know, the dining plan can't be a good idea because Disney's offering it. But I'm telling you, it really does and can help you save money.
It's like anything else. I mean, if you're using it, what I tell my guests is, you know, there are expensive one credit meals, especially like you said, character meals. I mean, you have kids. It's a no brainer. As long as you use all of your entitlements, you're going to at least break even, probably going to come out way ahead. And there's also, you know, I'm a huge advocate of when I'm on vacation, I like to have stuff prepaid. Like, that's my thing. Like, that's why I love cruising. Like, I've paid for my trip, my cruise 150 days out. When I go on that cruise, I just get the menu and I get what looks good, you know. But if I'm paying out of pocket, I know. Even though I know I want to get something that's more expensive, I don't. I look at the prices when I'm paying out of pocket and I'll get the chicken instead of the steak. That's just me. But if I'm on the dining plan, I'll get something that I'm in the mood for. And there's something to be said for that on vacation, too.
Well, and there's no fights about kids getting the milkshake or the smoothie or the specialty drink, because that's included with the dining plan.
I hate that.
And there's no fights on whether mom's going to get the back scratcher at Ohana or not, because it's an expensive drink, but it's absolutely included on the dining plan. So just, work the numbers. Don't just take the advice of somebody else. I think if you work the numbers, and you'll see, you might find that it would work for you when it might not have in the past.
So. Okay, so one last thing. We got about 5 minutes left. We don't have a lot of time, but you mentioned Food and Wine. I'm going down. I get to experience it for a couple of days because I'll be there for the last Illuminations and the first Epcot Forever, so I'll be in the park. What did you find that I have to have at Food and Wine?
Oh man, and there are some good things that we really enjoyed. So we had first of all, the booth at that's there by America is always good. They're smoking things. You can smell them from far, far, far away. And it's just, I don't even think that's fair. Like, you can smell the smoke, just from so far away that it's really worth it. It's the Hops and Barley, the Hops and Barley booth. And they have this slider. It's beef brisket with horseradish cream and onions on this roll, with vegetables on the side. It was really good. We really enjoyed that. That's something I would get again. Of course, the Indian bread with the different dips is always really, really good. There is a dip at the Ireland booth that has bread and like a cheese and beer dip. That's great. But there's some new booths that are here this year that I think are offering some really good stuff. We did not get the opportunity to try them out this time, but there really are. One of them is like a smoky something. Ricky, help me out. What's it called? It's like a, I forget,
Calling Chef Todd. Calling Chef Todd. Chef Todd, report to the show.
I know. Flavors from fire.
No, there's a Alps one. That might be another one you're thinking
there
of.
There is an Alps one too, yeah.
And there's a apple one that's in where O Canada was. They put in a booth temporarily so that and it's a really cool booth. Like, it's themed after like Johnny Appleseed, which I love. Like, a way to bring out the old timey short Disney. Good job, bravo. So that is IP I can get behind.
Right, it's true. Well, that's so the Alps thing. We did try the items that were offered at the Alps menu, and I am someone who loves almond anything. And they have a dessert that is a blueberry almond tart that was really, really good. So I loved that. And it was very over the top almondy. So if you like that, try that. But yeah, the Flavors from Fire, that looked interesting too. Just lots of good stuff. Let's just face it. I mean, Food and Wine or any of the Epcot festivals are a great time to be in Epcot. And we'll give the advice that we always give. be there when it opens. The booths open at 11 o'clock. Be there early to get the lowest, you know, wait times. And you'll enjoy yourself and try new stuff.
So sounds like you had a little bit of fun down there on this.
We did. Trip. Yeah, we did. I mean, you know, we squeezed as much as we could into what was a relatively short trip. But yeah, lots of great things to see. And that's another, I think, great opportunity to take during the fall, especially, you know, because Food and Wine is extended this year. You get to have the chance to see the Skyliners and see maybe Illuminations for the last time and see Galaxy's Edge and do Food and Wine.
And these kids get, like, Mallory gets, because we moved to this new school district, she gets a fall break, and it's 6 days. Like, she gets a Friday and then the whole next week in October.
What? That's awesome.
That is crazy. Like, so if you, yeah, if your kids have a break like that,
you have the
kids
scheduled now.
Get down. Yeah, go.
Plan something.
That'd be fun. It's a great time to go. All right. Well, Pam, thanks so much for the advice on Galaxy's Edge, Batu, and dining plan and, you know, Food and Wine. I can't wait to get down there here in a few weeks.
It's great. You'll have a great time.
All right. Don't forget today's show brought to you by our great friends over at the Magic for Less Travel. When you're headed for your next Disney destination, work with the best, work with the Magic for Less. And like Pam said, you know, you don't have to wait till 2020. There's a lot happening, you know, especially at Epcot starting like summer of 2020. But there's a lot of great stuff happening right now. Festivals, you know, Batu, just going over to an after hours event over at the Magic Kingdom. Just Halloween parties, Christmas parties, so much happening. So don't write off 2019 quite yet. Still a lot going on. So drop by themagicforless.com. Check out all the great specials. And while you're there, fill out that free no obligation quote form. And an agent will get back to you right away. Sometimes it's so quick. You're like, whew, were they watching when I was filling that out online? Were they like looking over my shoulder at my computer? No, we get it in the email, but we get back quickly. So you can get, we know how it is. I'm like, if I want to plan a Disney trip, I want to plan it like now. I'm like Veruca Salt. I want it now. I don't want it like in, you know, 49 hours. I want to get there now. So we know, and we help you out as quick as we can. So check them out at themagicforless.com. Also, please use our Amazon affiliate link. It's at brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. All the purchases do help support the show, and you still get all your Prime benefits, so that van will be showing up before you know it, lickety-split. Again, like Veruca Salt. I don't know why I'm going there today, but I am. So, again, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Give us a follow on the social. We're on Instagram and Twitter at BeOurGuestPod and at BeOurGuestMike. And give us a follow on Facebook as well, facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. And join us again at the Indy Disney Meet September 21 at the Hamilton County Fairgrounds in Noblesville, Indiana. We're going to be on the main stage at the end of the event around 5:30-ish, 6, something like that. So just be there. It doesn't matter. But we're going to be recording a live show as well during the event as well. And come by and say hi. We just want to meet everybody. So benefiting Give Kids the World. That's why we're there. It's the best thing. It's awesome. So we'll see you out in Noblesville. But we're going to get out of here. It's time for the weekend. So have a good one. For Pam and Ricky, I'm Mike. Wish you an awesome weekend. But whatever you do, stay safe. And we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.